Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well, here we are at the tail end, almost at the end, a few more to go.
The light's getting bigger.
Yes, for Cheese, Wine, and Christmas. There's been lots of cheese. I've had to drink lots of wine, and it's almost Christmas. So,
but not as much Christmas as we expected.
No, I can't get over how little Christmas there is in most of these Christmas specials. Today's special is called Midnight at Magnolia. Now, you might be saying, well, why would you think that was Christmas? It doesn't have Christmas in the title, because it's listed in Christmas specials. And if you Google Christmas specials, it comes up and there's all kinds of Christmassy things in the picture.
Right. The prompt on Netflix is, the poster on IMDb is more New Year's Eve-ish, but the poster and the previews have a lot of snow. There's Christmas decorations throughout the movie. Yep. Yep.
Almost nothing to do with Christmas. In fact, it starts the day after Christmas.
Yep.
So I thought we were going to do a year loop, really, but we didn't really.
No, it's December 26th to New Year's Day.
Yes. And then one shot of a year later, but not yet.
We'll touch upon that.
So the day after Christmas, we are in a radio studio, and clearly there are two hosts that are doing this show, but only one of them is there.
Yep. Yeah. We're following the morning setup for both of the two hosts.
Yeah. One is Maggie. Is the female, and she is her getting ready in the morning. You can tell she's an A-type personality, super organized, making the perfect cup of coffee. Everything's great. Everything's organized. And she is in her seat in plenty of time. Not so much for
Jack. Jack is your typical, I don't want to get up today, and I'll just pour some cereal into a bowl and I'll walk
all
in.
Over the place, by the way. Not make it in the bowl. It make a mess, you know. And can't find my alarm clock while I'm trying to turn it off.
And he ends up getting to work 5 seconds after the broadcast starts.
But we can tell from the beginning that this is typical and we're not worried. So Maggie is not worried at all. Their boss is a little worried. Their boss, Deb, is a little worried. Where is he? Where could he be? But Maggie never loses her cool and actually even starts the whole beginning prompt on the radio with an empty chair in front of her, having complete faith that the last second Jack will come skidding into the seat, as he does.
Yep. And if you were a listener, you would have not thought anything was wrong.
Right. So let's talk about Maggie and Jack. So they're beautiful.
Sure. Yes.
They're just beautiful. Both of them are very beautiful.
Jack looks like a more handsome version of Topher Grace.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. He's like, he's cartoon handsome.
Yeah.
If you were going to draw a cartoon of a handsome dude. And his ears are just slightly too big, so he doesn't seem perfect, which makes him even more handsome, oddly enough. Right? Like everyday man.
I didn't even notice the ears.
Yeah, you were so taken by his good looks.
Yeah, I mean, it was like his face was chiseled like Gaston.
It's true. And then, Maggie is like blonde perfection.
Yes.
So there they are. And over the course of this broadcast, we figure out that they have a morning wake up show that is local in Chicago, fairly popular. And they're both friends, and they've been friends for a million years. We find this all out in the expository barf that happens during this broadcast. We find out that
the opening banter is just for our knowledge.
Right. Just it's an expository vomit is what it is.
And so here's what we know. Yep. They've been friends since middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. Both of their fathers own, they're co-owners of the local jazz bar. restaurant in the city
called Magnolia.
Magnolia, hint, hint. And they're both fresh in relationships. They're both dating people that they've been dating recently, like
3 months, couple and of 6 weeks. Months.
Yeah.
3 months and 6 months. And we also know that because their dads own the restaurants together, their families are very close. Yep. And every year they have a dinner on the day after or 2 days after Christmas.
The day after Christmas. It was the 26th. Day after
Christmas, they celebrate together. I don't know why they don't celebrate on Christmas, but they don't. They celebrate the day after all together as a group. And so basically the subject of today's morning show becomes about why they didn't introduce or invite their new people with them.
Right.
So he's dating somebody named Serena. And she's dating somebody named Hunter. And they both are like, you're a coward. When's too soon? Blah, blah, blah. And it starts this whole call-in fest about when you introduce your significant other.
But we don't pay attention to that. As soon as the callers start, or both Jack and Maggie give their sides, then they start going to callers, but then it cuts to after the show.
Right. So what we find out is that that show was so popular and so amazing that the national something or other
satellite radio. Just all of satellite radio.
All of satellite radio wants to make them a national show.
Yep.
Deb is very excited about this. And so, so they're going to make this a national show and they are going to test it out for the next 5 days.
Correct.
And if the national audience takes to them, then it will be a permanent move.
They'll get a contract. Yeah.
Right. So this whole conversation becomes like an ongoing thing. Now, in the meantime, before we find out the next step, because there is a next step about the going national, we get to meet Hunter. Right.
Yes.
Now, Jack has already made fun of Hunter because he wears sweater vests, which I'm not going to lie, I agree with. I think sweater vests are a bad look. And if I was dating somebody who wore them, I would stop dating them. So, yeah. But Hunter is also ridiculously handsome.
Yes.
And they try to make him look dorky and nerdy by putting him in sweater vests. It doesn't really work.
I don't really like heavily parted combed hair.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that he
stereotype like of accountant if you were going to.
Yeah. But you could tell like he's this really handsome bucking. I don't know. That's a word. Strapping man who is probably jacked.
Yes, he looks very jacked under a sweater vest. So, basically they're having coffee and he's not that happy about today's broadcast. And he wonders, why don't you want to introduce me to your family? And he hints that he thinks Maggie is secretly in love with Jack.
Correct. Well, I mean, hints is an understatement.
Yes. Well, he gets more bold about it later, but at the beginning, he sort of hints and he asks about this dinner and she says they do it every year and he gets this like look of horror on his face. And he's like, oh, so that means if you and I really end up together, I celebrate every year with Jack and his family. And she's like, well, yeah. And he's like, hell no.
Right.
And off he goes.
Right. But they're still together. He's just angry at this point.
Right. He's just angry at this point. But what puts him over the edge?
I think the next day they do another show that everyone likes, and they Jack and Maggie are hugging.
But they're hugging because they just found out that there's going to be this whole cool thing. Because by the way, we missed the dinner. They've had dinner with their families, right?
Yeah.
And they find out during this dinner that the yearly party for New Year's Eve at Magnolia, which normally sold out like in a day, the ticket sales are really slow.
Correct.
Looks like Magnolia might need to close because jazz is no longer a thing and people don't like it, blah, 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 blah. And they're concerned about this. But what happens is in the next radio show, the conversation continues about introducing people. And right. the people at Satellite Radio, that Satellite is so Radio. Funny, have a great idea. So the guy who's in charge of all of the decisions there, his name is Judd Crawford. He has since contacted Deb and said a couple of things. Number one, he wants to meet the two hosts. And Correct. So they're invited to a party at his house, which is a big frickin' deal.
Correct.
And number two, they decided that they are going to do this whole thing where on New Year's Eve, they
a live thing.
They're gonna introduce their boyfriend and girlfriend to their families, and they're gonna make that a live show. Correct. So they get the brilliant idea. Well, why don't we have it at Magnolia?
Yep.
That way we can sell all of the tickets to the party. And they're so excited about all of this that they are in a huge twirly embrace when in walks Hunter.
Yep. They have a hand, they have their own handshake, and then they hug. And while they're embracing, Hunter walks in. I think he had flowers.
Oh, he had a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks sad.
And he walks away. Slump,
and he turns around and walks away.
Yeah. So she can't get in touch with him after that. And then finally
at night
he calls and
basically says, "We're no more."
Yep. Breaks up with her.
Yep. And Maggie's thing is, can we talk about it? Can we talk it through? Let's talk about this. And I mentioned it because it plays into things later. And you can tell on the other end, Hunter's like, nope, we're done. Bye.
Yep. Yeah. I think he actually hangs up on her.
Oh, yeah. So apparently in this world, cell phones have dial tones, like landlines.
Yep.
So that's how we know Hunter hung up, because we hear the beep, beep,
we hear
beep,
the dial beep. Tone. So fast forward to the next day going to work, and she sees Jack on the sidewalk on the way to work, and they both confess they've been dumped. Oh, no.
Yep.
What to do? Jack has a plan.
Yeah, Jack has a very interesting plan. So at the studio, they're chatting about their show and how they're going to make this New Year's thing work now. And Jack has the idea that Jack and Maggie fake a relationship with each other.
And they will announce at midnight that they are secretly involved with each other, and that the fans will go crazy because they've always wanted them together. By the way, correct. Lots of the phone calls over these past few days have been, why aren't you guys together? So they know that everybody would love this.
Yep.
So they broach the idea to Deb, only they pretend it's real. In fact, the way they do that is they have a fake weird kiss that's so awkward and bizarre. One of them starts pecking the other one all over the face, like,
awful. So Maggie goes, only a peck. And Jack says something along the way, yeah, of course. And so they're kissing like 7-year-olds that don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
And because it was supposed to be for Deb to see.
Yep.
And it's not just Deb that sees, it's Jack's parents.
Oh, yeah. Well. Jack's parents. By the way, just a little side note, and it is a side note because it means almost nothing. Maggie's mom is dead, of course, newly dead, because there's always a newly dead parent. So just throwing that out there. Yep. So they're seen by one set of parents and Deb. Everybody's super excited. Turns out they've been waiting for this all along, which Maggie and Jack did not realize. But their whole life, they've wanted these two together. Yep. And so now we're off and running, right?
Yep.
And it seems like there's no
turning back. No turning back here.
And it's such a good idea that Jack and Maggie go to get coffee at the Happy Goat, which is where everybody gets coffee through the entire movie.
Yeah, it's the only coffee place in Chicago.
The only coffee place in town. It's where she was sitting with Hunter when they talked about the broadcast. So who do you think they run into there?
Oh, my God. I think it was Hunter.
Oh, my God. It was Hunter.
And he's sitting with a woman.
A beautiful woman. And at some point, they're holding hands. So now Maggie's sad.
Right.
She was excited 2 seconds ago. Now she's sad.
And Jack was trying to, you know, say, maybe it's not that, maybe it's not what it looks like. It could be something else. You shouldn't mm-hmm. jump to conclusions.
Right.
And Maggie's like, no, I can't believe Hunter is found someone else so quickly.
Like one day later. Oh my God. Right.
So throughout Jack and Maggie's relationship through this movie, we find out that they're good friends. You know, they carry each other. They make sure everyone's in, happy, and they're very caring to each other.
Yes. So like best buds.
Yeah.
There's already been some hints that Maggie used to like him. There's been a couple of, things about when Hunter says, did you ever have feelings for Jack? And she says, of course not. And we know that she did, and all of that. So she's had feelings for Jack, but supposedly they're good friends now. She's been dumped by Hunter. He's found somebody else. So she does what every girl does in every romantic movie ever. She sits on the couch in her pajamas, eating a Haagen-Dazs out of a pint. There's never a bowl. It's always the pint. It's not a half gallon. It's a pint.
Yep.
With a spoon directly out of it while she watches bad TV and cries. Yep.
In a with a blanket.
The blanket in her pajamas. So she's busy doing that, but Jack is having none of that. He's going to cheer her up.
Yes.
How does he do that, Brendan?
Her favorite thing when they were kids, which is toboggan down a hill in Chicago.
Favorite sledding hill in Chicago.
Yeah. So the big issue is, I think the hill was like right across from the apartment, and it really was not a.
It was a bump.
It's not a hill people sled down, but anyway, they do their thing. They're enjoying their time together. There's a lot
they're drinking hot cocoa.
Yep. There's a lot looking of hugging.
Beautiful, by the way, looking beautiful. There's a little gazebo. It's some sort of park. They're on a park bench. Yep. I love also, I don't know if you noticed this, Brendan, but when he showed her the hill, when he was like, here we are at the hill, it was literally a bump. But then during the shots of them going down the hill, it went on forever and it was much longer. So it's also a telescoping hill. It gets longer when you're actually on your toboggan.
Yeah, I mean, going down, it looked all right, but the hill itself didn't look anything remarkable.
Yeah, it was a bump.
They also called it a mountain. So Chicagoans are really, we need to talk to Chicago a little bit.
Right. We need to figure what's going on there. So they have a wonderful time, which, by the way, let's be honest, sledding's only moderately fun even when you're a kid. It's like fun when you're going down, but you're also cold, your snot freezes, you definitely fall a few times and hurt yourself really badly, and you hate walking back up the hill. So like the hurtling down the hill for a child is enough to overcompensate, but I cannot imagine any scenario in which I, as an adult woman, would be cheered up by the act of hurtling down a hill.
Well, maybe you should go to Chicago and live.
I haven't tried that hill. Apparently it's magic.
It's a magic hill.
Right. So everybody's feeling better. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now they're having to really pretend, because it was supposed to just be something that they trotted out at midnight, but their boss knows, their parents now know and are super excited, and brought out a very expensive wine. And yes, and he knows, because Deb told Judd. So they're going to go to the party and have to pretend. So all this pretending, with lots of musical montage, we see that they're falling for each other. We also find out through a warning from her sister to not let her heart get broken by Jack what happened. So here's a bit of miscellaneous expository information that got sprinkled out throughout. Okay. So expository information regarding Jack. Jack wrote a song and was going to sing it in a school talent contest, got panicky and ran off the stage and never did it. And that has forever been a disappointment to Maggie, who thought the song was great and that he should have been brave and sang it. And so she's always been a little disappointed about that, because he didn't do something that was super brave. So that's our miscellaneous information about Jack.
Well,
are
you going to talk about Bianca or?
I consider that the miscellaneous information about Maggie, even though it's really about both.
Continue on.
So Maggie and Jack were going to go to the prom together because they had a pact that that's what they were going to do. And at the last minute, Jack dumped her for this woman, Bianca, who he now says is the only person who's broken her, his heart. And she pretended that it was okay, but she was devastated.
Yep. So, they were talking and Maggie asked Jack, who is the only, you know, who's broken your heart? Jack says Bianca because of the prom thing. And then Jack says, well, what about you? Have you had your heart broken? And Maggie goes, yes, I have, but it doesn't matter who it was.
Right. Hint,
number infinity.
Right. So Bianca broke his heart by leaving and going somewhere else after the prom and he never saw her again. So, okay. So that's all of the miscellaneous information. So they're acting like a couple and that's making them feel like a couple. So all of that's like super awesome. Yep. And they're having a wonderful time and they find out at Judd's party, which by the way, turns out to be super romantic for them. Lots of slow dancing and drinking. Although this is just one of my, you know, I have a thing about continuity, right?
Yep. Oh, so Deirdre picked this up pretty quickly and
yeah. The director and maid hates bad continuity. So this is in an effort to show how well they know each other. She says she wants a drink and Jack says white wine with ice. And she's like, oh, you know me so well. And he immediately brings over a glass of white wine without a single cube in it. And she is thrilled with it and drinks it happily. And I'm like, where the fuck is the ice?
Right. And that, well, right. Then the next thing they go, they have their own, the two of them have their own after party at the Magnolia. Mm-hmm. Where Jack cooks Hawaiian pizza.
Yes, for no reason. But
and the thing Deirdre noticed immediately was that Maggie was downing red wine.
Yeah, so now we're drinking red wine. So first we're drinking white wine without ice. And now, so why you know me so well, that's my favorite for, yeah, that just pissed me off.
Yep.
So yeah, they're having a romantic dinner for two at the Magnolia. He's made the pizza. It looks as store-bought or as any pizza could ever look.
Right. It was 80% dough and yeah. 20% very topping somewhere.
Pineapple, mostly yeah. Pineapple. Yeah.
But yeah, also during this time, we learned that the anniversary of Maggie's mom passing is the next day and they make plans to watch It's a Wonderful Life together. And, you know, and Jack just wants to be there for Maggie.
She's going to make dinner. They're going to have a nice night together. Yep. And so that he can support her through that rough time. And by now they're super acting like a couple, like wicked couple.
Right. Stuff. And so the other thing to note is we learn that Jack is continuously single. He's a serial dater, doesn't dive into long term relationships. That's the big thing we should know.
Yeah. So now we're setting up at the Magnolia and everybody is helping out. Jack comes to help out. Mm-hmm. And Maggie's dad says, hey, I need some help getting some stuff out of the car. Can you come help me? And during that moment, Brendan said he's totally going to give some type of family heirloom or whatever to Jack now that he's going to be part of the family kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, they're bringing crates of wine in, but he stops and he tells them how much he's always wanted this to happen and how he couldn't pick somebody more perfect for his daughter.
And also the mom.
Yeah, the mom always loved him and hoped that they would get together. So he pulls out the mom's engagement ring, which I'm thinking, did you like pry that off her cold, dead hand and just like save it somewhere in case this happened? I don't know. I had a lot of creepy thoughts about that. So he's got the mom's engagement ring and he gives it to Jack and he says, you know, for when the time is right. Yes. And Jack's like, well, what if it doesn't work out? And he's like, of course it's going to work out. You guys look at each other like that. Like every movie, it talks about that's how we secretly know that somebody is really in love is the way they look at each other. Right. So, yeah. So that throws Jack for a loop. And
he's in a daze.
So just after the sister has warned Maggie, don't let Jack trample on your heart again. Jack says he's not feeling well and abandons the decorating party, much to Maggie's dismay.
Yep.
Now he's walking through the streets in a daze. He's walking, got the ring in his pocket.
I guess walking home, maybe?
I guess. What is he going to do? Did he make the right decision? What is happening? And who should he bump into? Crazy coincidence.
I think expectorally wise, it's Bianca.
Oh, my God. There she is, right there in the street. And she talks him into going for a drink at their favorite bar.
So it turns out Bianca was in San Francisco for work or somewhere in California, and just came back. Like, just.
But my favorite part about this, again, continuity queen over here. According to Jack's heartbreak, they broke up pretty much after prom. Like, she went off to a different place for college. So she left high school, went off. But yet they have a favorite bar. So I don't know if they were underage drinking or what.
Fake IDs. Good old college. Good old high school life.
Right. So they have a favorite bar. So it's right around the corner. So we have another exposition dump at the table. We learned that the reason why Bianca left, because totally a 17, 18-year-old would think this way, left for California, is because she could see that he really loved Maggie and not her. Mm-hmm. And so she was out of there and left over this like 2 month, you know. She also lets him know that Maggie was sobbing in the bathroom after he said, is it okay if I go with Bianca? Because Bianca's feeling a little guilty now. It's like, I always felt guilty about that. You guys had it packed. Yeah, but I asked her and she didn't care. Yeah, she did.
Well, she was crying. So meanwhile, again, it's a movie. So time's meaningless. Yep. So it's seven.
Right. It's all of a sudden at seven. Remember, folks, he's supposed to be watching It's a Wonderful Life with Maggie.
Yep, it cuts to Maggie's house. She's plating a really amazing looking dinner.
A gourmet dinner. Looking candles. Like sexy as anything. Yep.
Yeah, she was ready to enjoy the night with her good friend Jack,
who I think she thought this was maybe going to be the moment that they made out and
And so again, Jack is focused on it's with Bianca at the bar. Mm-hmm. Finally, he catches himself and is, holy shit, what time is it? It's quarter past eight.
It's late.
About an hour later. And so Jack realizes the error of his ways, flees the bar and runs towards Maggie's house. Mm-hmm. And again, time is fucking meaningless here. Maggie's already in her pajamas as Jack is knocking on the door, and he is so apologetic to Maggie.
My God, he's feeling terrible, begging for her to listen to him. And of course she pulls a Hunter and is like, absolutely not. And when he ever says that he ran into Bianca, she's like, oh my God, again, fool me once. You know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And she's madder than I think Jack's ever seen her. Right.
Yep. And Maggie pulls the just leave, just get out. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just leave.
Yep. So now it's like, what's going to happen? Because the party is like the next day, right? Because time is meaningless.
Yep.
So the party is the next day. What is going to happen? Right.
So they have the radio show in the morning the next day before the big New Year's event. Jack is actually on time and early.
And she's the one that's late.
Yep.
Or like right at the last minute.
Yep. And Jack is trying to do the radio show, and Maggie is basically stonewalling his questions and
being a dick.
Kind of one word answering his questions and not really being involved. And then it cuts to after the show where Jack is, you know, saying, is everything okay? You weren't participating much. And Maggie is just a stone-faced professional. No, I'm fine. Yep. I'm fine.
Yep. See you later. Bye.
Yep. See you tonight. See you tonight. Bye.
Oh, and we completely forgot to mention that at the party with Judd, they were told that they were going to do a live stream. We're live streaming this, not just radio. Yes. So they're going to be seen, even though they're not used to that. And they're going to kiss at midnight.
Yes.
So, you know, so there's this big thing about a kiss at midnight. Like, it becomes really over the top, the worrying about it, the planning for it.
Yep.
So now we're like, are they going to kiss at midnight? What are they going to do? Because she's not speaking to him. So in the meantime, they each have their own little conversation with somebody that gives them epiphany material.
Yep.
Right. So hers is with her dad. She doesn't tell him that her and Jack are not real or that they're not speaking or whatever, but she does ask him how he knew that mom was the one, dead mom. Right. Yep. And he tells this whole story about how she's afraid of spiders. And so she would never go up into the attic, terrified of spiders. They both go back and forth, memories of how terrified mom was of spiders. And then he has an accident up in the attic. He falls partly through the floor. She comes running up and she goes right through, which, by the way, he used the word cobwebs, not spider webs, which I think is also a continuity issue. But anyway, yep. She runs through all of the cobwebs to save him. They're all in her hair. She faces her fear and ignores it completely because he's more important.
Right. And it becomes the mantra for the rest of the movie. She ran through the cobwebs. So
Maggie's like, I don't think Jack would run through cobwebs for me.
Right.
Uh-oh. Want, want. You deserve that. So if he won't, fuck him. Right. And then who is Jack talking to? When is it? I think it's Bianca again, right?
I think so. Yeah, because no, it's at the party. He talks to because he brings Bianca as his plus one.
Plus one. Ooh, yeah. Bad move. Right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And she basically is like, you have to go after her and like, don't be such a dick.
Right. I only came to support you.
No. He talks to somebody else and he says he has to do something big. I guess it was his own dad.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was his dad.
It was his own dad. They each talk to their dads and he talks to his dad and he's like, I think I might have messed things up. And he's like, you have to make a grand gesture. So we're like, what will this grand gesture be?
Right, because he glances at the guitar at the...
Yeah, we're like, ooh, I wonder what it'll be.
Right.
So we're at the party. Maggie looks incredible. But she comes late and makes everybody worried. So Judd is a little worried. Deb's a little worried. Jack's cranky. Maggie shows up. She's cranky. Deb's like, pull it together, guys. Like, what the frig is happening here? And then time has no real meaning. And we see contests being done and announcements being done. And finally.
Right. So, well, they're emceeing the.
Yep.
The ball dropping basically before they kiss. It's all awkward.
It's all awkward. They're up on stage, they're being live streamed, and they're supposed to make their big announcement that they're actually a couple. So they're like, hey, you might be wondering why our significant others aren't here. Well, we have a surprise for you. And Jack is like ready to go through with it and do the whole thing. And Maggie is having one of those bizarro moments of I've been lying all along and now I need to be honest when it might ruin my entire life and my career.
So before you finish that,
are you gonna talk about the radio show that the offer? Okay. Yeah.
So it also should be known that Judd has offered both Maggie and Jack their own different shows.
Right. They're so good that they each could have their own show. And so, Maggie has said, but by the way, they've been doing a show together since they had a high school one. And now, right. And Maggie has already told him she's interested. So Jack is devastated.
Yeah. And Jack at that point had no answer.
Right. I'm going to think about it. Let me think about it. Yeah. So we're on stage. Maggie has one of those moments of conscience that happens in every one of these movies where she's going to make a weird declarative confession in front of a large crowd. It's always in front of a large crowd.
Yep.
Because she can't handle being
a liar.
A liar anymore. And this moment that might ruin her whole career is absolutely the moment and upset her family. So why not do it now on live streaming TV? Yeah. So she basically fesses up to the whole thing that we made this up because we got dumped and blah, blah, blah. But I, it wasn't made up for me. I really, really love him. And he doesn't love me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm so sorry. And she like goes running off the stage.
And Judd, instead of cutting the live feed, says, stay with it. I like the drama.
Only he says drama.
Oh, drama. Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of strange sort of Boston. We're in Chicago, but the dad of Maggie has got this weird mix between like a New York and a Boston accent,
right,
which makes no sense. And then Judd just trots out that, I like the drama.
Drama.
Right. So Deb, who loves them, wants to cut it because it's humiliating and embarrassing. But Deb doesn't give a flying fuck. So he's, you know, keep him rolling. At which point, Jack does a heartfelt also confession that he, too, has just realized she's the love of his life. And he loves her and he doesn't want his own show. He only wants a show with her and she's the greatest thing ever. And then he pulls out the guitar and sings the song he supposedly wrote in high school, but it's oddly specific to this particular moment.
Now, being it that this is at a jazz bar, the satellite radio hired the Davis Bros, who in this movie are like the biggest jazz band at the moment. So they're playing jazz throughout the party. And while Jack is playing his song on the guitar, Deirdre and I were trying to figure out the exact moment the band would just jump in because they knew the song.
The bass player, the player with the stand-up bass, he was like, his fingers were ready and he was nodding his head along, and we're like, and there he goes. Right. So they just jumped in. But also the lyrics were very specific to this moment. So I can't imagine that he ever wrote that in high school. But anyway. And then she's like, oh, my God, oh, Jack. And he's like, oh, Maggie. And they have a big smoochy kiss at midnight because time apparently stood still long enough for them to both confess and sing the song before the ball dropped.
Yep. The ball knew.
Yeah. So you might think that's the end of the movie, but it's not. There's an epilogue.
Yes, so there is.
1 year later, where are we?
Oh, we're back at everyone's favorite toboggan hill.
Oh my God. I'm thinking like you'd be hard pressed to get me there once, never mind twice.
Yeah, but it's a year later. So
it's a year later and they're sledding away as
my favorite part,
people do.
My favorite part that you mentioned was she was wearing heeled boots
while sledding. Heeled boots. Because, you know, we all sled as adults in heeled boots and on our favorite.
Because it's easier to climb a mountain in heeled boots, I guess.
Right. So, and somehow a basket has mysteriously appeared on the bench. I don't know whether there's no explanation to how he got it there.
No.
Somebody brought it or he brought it and put it down when she wasn't looking. I don't know.
There's no explanation. It makes no sense.
I mean, it's magic is what it is. Christmas magic. Although there's nothing to do with Christmas, but it's sort of Christmassy time. So there's the basket on the bench and it's got like a
champagne,
champagne and stuff. And while she's fiddling around and being like, oh my God, this is amazing. He gets down on one knee.
Ring. Couldn't see that happening.
Totally didn't know that was going to happen at all. All right. Actually, we just didn't know the exact second. Is it now? Is it now? So it ends with them being happily engaged.
So yeah. I guess we're assuming that Jack got over his fear of commitment and they're going to live happily ever after.
Yeah. Well, it's been the best year of their life. And why wouldn't it be? They've been tobogganing. So
correct.
Okay, so I'm going to say a couple of things. One, ridiculously beautiful people. Two, ridiculously predictable plot. Lots of nonsense happening and giant leaps of suspending our disbelief. And no freaking Christmas, really.
Right.
This should be a New Year's movie, not a Christmas movie.
Correct.
Why it's in the Christmas thing. So I'm going to give this, I'm going to give it a 3 just for the eye candy.
So there wasn't anything redeeming to it. Mm-hmm. And when I say redeeming, you know, in previous movies, there's Clive, there's, mm-hmm. you know, the backpack story. There were movies, even the ones that I didn't like, there was something redeeming for to make me enjoy. This mm-hmm. had none of that. I mean, the eye candy was great. You know, Maggie's beautiful. Jack is super handsome.
Bianca's pretty. Everybody's yeah. good looking in this. Right. Yeah.
But there's nothing redeeming. There's no interesting monologue. You know, she ran through cobwebs is funny, but it's not intriguing. Yeah.
So we were like, when is somebody going to say that? Right. And after he's saying, oh my God, he ran through cobwebs for me. And I was like, and yeah. there it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm giving it a 1.5 just because it someone put it to like, it's a coherent movie. That's the only yes. thing I can give to it.
It is a coherent movie. It is. And it is ridiculously romantic. It just doesn't make any sense. Right. So, yeah. Okay. So on that note, as we reach almost the end of our journey, I'm going to go stuff my face with cheese and drown my sorrows in wine.
Well, I'm going to put ice in my white wine and make sure it actually stays there.
Cheers.
Yay.